this is Jim Pursley, pastor of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church, thanking you for taking the time to listen to this summary of a message preached on May 13th, 2012 at our Lawton Avenue Chapel in Columbus, Indiana. I believe we'll start calling these summary messages the marrow of the message. So thank you for listening to the marrow of the message. The title of the message preached this past Sunday is The Sovereignty of God and the Death of a Christian. We know that the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. And we know that sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And as Romans 5 says, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. The question we have to ask ourselves is death the same for all people? Death comes to everyone. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, Solomon counseled. He confronted with the truth that death is the destiny of all people. But is death the same for all people? Do believers die the same death as unbelievers? Is dying and death a judgment against a believer? This past week, I had the privilege of presiding over the funeral of a dear woman who had passed away with a testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that testimony and with her confession of faith, it gave her family a great deal of hope and confidence. Although many people that were listening that day had questions of their own regarding death. But given other circumstances I had through the week, I couldn't help but just ponder this whole subject about death. And I needed to return to the scriptures just for my own comfort. You can only visit hospice so much and visit someone in their home who's suffering a serious illness and is wasting away over time and not have these questions come up. But the Bible provides great and encouraging answers for Christians. Believers, unbelievers don't have the same hope as believers do, as we know. But I want to ask those questions, and I want to get some answers for myself today, and I hope that you will too. Psalm chapter 116, verse 15 says something so beautiful, but difficult for us to understand. It says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints." That is for the believer and for our comfort, to think that in the sight of the Lord, it's precious when one of his sheep pass away and die. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 says this, as Paul writes, and you could read the whole section we did in the message on Sunday morning. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. So the Bible gives many great comforting answers and more answers regarding death. So it's my hope and prayer for you and for me, for all of us, for the body of Christ, that we would come to comprehend something that would change the way we look at how we live today and how we approach our own death. That God is sovereign over all things, even over the death of people, and especially sovereign, from our perspective, joyously sovereign over the death of a believer. But God does distinguish between his choice ones, that is a Christian, and unbelievers. You can read Luke chapter 16, the parable Jesus spoke of the rich man and Lazarus, and you can see this clear distinction between one who is in the faith and one who is not. Jesus made it perfectly clear that upon death, the rich man went, was separated unto eternal torment, whereas Lazarus, who was in of the faith of Abraham, was carried into the bosom of Abraham. This would have been understandable for the Jewish person of the time. We would say, as the Apostle Paul has said, and we'll see this throughout the message, but as he said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, that to pass from this body will mean to be present with the Lord immediately. When Paul wrote the Philippian church, he was exalting in Christ for the comfort of knowing that death, at death, he is, as well as all Christians, would be separated into the presence of Christ, as opposed to being separated into torment or separated into a purgatory or a holding place, a Sheol type of place. But Christ won the battle. He won the victory over death and over sin, and he has provided for us hope of everlasting life, which begins when faith first comes to life in our hearts and never ends, an everlasting life. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 8, something to assure them that the resurrection, at the resurrection, there would be great things for them. That was 1 Corinthians 15. But upon their death, they would be immediately in the presence of the Lord. He wrote, absent from the body and present with the Lord. So keep that in mind. Paul was saying it's preferable to be present with the Lord than to be present in this body. Our remaining in the body, or in the tent in which we now live right now, is not to be preferred over being present with the Lord. I think it's very important to be assured from Scripture for all of us as Christians that at the death of a believer, the soul is held in the hand of God. There is no moment where we escape or will be departed from the presence of the Lord. This has to encourage us. And I would say to those of you listening today that have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I try to be sensitive to the fact that you don't believe and that you have a different belief, but I must say, would you forfeit your own soul and forfeit an eternity in the presence of God Almighty because you stubbornly refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? The Scripture is clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, so that at death you will be present with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Well, four questions to ask. We'll speak about it briefly. And for the full message, you come to Sunday mornings here at Lawton Avenue, 1702 Lawton Avenue in Columbus, Indiana, at 11 o'clock, and you can hear the full message. But let's explore what it means, the death of a Christian. Second, how the Christian should think of their own death and the death of others. And third, what happens when we die? And fourth, regarding this future glorification that the Bible speaks about and the resurrection of the body. Well, very briefly, thinking about God's sovereignty in the death of a Christian. First and foremost, to know this as a Christian, death is not a punishment for Christians. Death for an unbeliever is punishment. The Bible says, and we've read it already, the wages of sin is death. For an unbeliever, death counts or stands as a judgment against them. But for the Christian, it is not the same. It's not the same. It may look the same from all outward appearances, but the reality is that the believer, having been justified, is no longer under the penalty of judgment. So death is not a punishment. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, for those in Christ, there is no condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The penalty for sin, according to Romans 8, 1 and many other passages in the Scriptures, the penalty for sin has been sovereignly satisfied in Christ. It's not the same as for an unbeliever. The penalty for sin for an unbeliever is the judgment of death. But the penalty for sin does not apply to the Christian who has, through faith in Jesus Christ, been justified and has hope of an everlasting life, including a resurrection body. Death does, however, remind the Christian, as Wayne Grudem said in his book, one of his theology books, that we live in death reminds us that we live in a fallen world, that death is the final outcome of living in a fallen world, so says Grudem. And so think about this. For reasons, please. pleasing to God. And in His great and perfect wisdom, He allows us to experience death before we gain all the benefits of salvation. One of the benefits of salvation is a resurrection glorified body. We don't gain this until after we die. Death, then, we could say, completes the sanctifying process that God began in us when we were saved. When the Bible says, "He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus," this includes even the death of a believer. Death completes our sanctification. That's a very important point. And fourthly, the prospect of death causes the Christian to trust in the Lord more and more. The prospect of death will at various points in life cause us to strive toward obedience, to value Christ's saving work more and more, to have a deepening desire to love Christ more than life itself, to love Him more than loving even our own lives. You can read Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, regarding the martyrs mentioned by the Apostle John, that they loved not their own lives, even unto death. They were willing to die because they loved the Lord more. Oftentimes when we're young and healthy, or even older and healthy, that health becomes that which animates us and motivates us. But for those who in faith are suffering even unto death, that suffering and that prospect of death causes an abandonment of trust in ourselves and an abandonment of finding our life and our passion in and of ourselves and our own health, and instead trusting in Christ. Secondly, how should we Christians think of our own death, and how should we think about the death of others? Remember the scripture we've looked at already, Psalm 116, verse 15, that we should think about the death of a Christian as precious in God's sight. We should even think of our own death as a Christian as precious in God's sight. We should remember without failing that death cannot separate us from His love, according to Romans 8:38 and 2 Corinthians 5:8, that absent from the body, we're present with the Lord, Philippians 1:23. The death is our departure unto Christ. So as Christians, we have to think about our own death and the death of other Christians as a departure unto Christ, being ushered into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. And Psalm 23, verse 4 gives a great comfort that most of us are aware of. "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Death becomes only a shadow through which we walk. And the same goes for loved ones who die in the faith. We grieve and we sorrow and we mourn because we miss fellowship with them. But why do we think that we should not grieve? Why do we oftentimes just say that it's a time for celebration? Friends, we miss and we love those that we miss those we love so much. And we don't, by grieving, doesn't mean that we are grieving as those without hope. It means that we're just sad. We are sad because we love someone and they've passed away and we're going to miss them. And so we don't grieve as those without hope, although we may sorrow for a season. But the Lord Himself will comfort those who mourn, and He will be near to those who trust in Him. But friends, death does not hold the same comforts for unbelievers. Well, the third question we should explore is, what happens when we or another Christian dies? Well, upon death, according to the scriptures, the soul is separated immediately into God's presence. I don't believe there's a soul sleep. I don't think the scripture teaches a soul sleep. You might derive that from the Old Testament somewhat, but I don't think that it's even valid in the Old Testament. But the New Testament clearly teaches that at death we're separated from the body, the soul separated from the body. That's what death means, and we're separated unto God in Christ Jesus, immediately separated to Him. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul thought about it like we would think about it, departing on an airplane for another place. There's a departure, you're gone. you're departed to be with the Lord. But for unbelievers, those who have rejected Christ flat out, those who have ignored Christ, those who've distrusted Christ, those who've minimized Christ, those who give no mind to Christ, those who know nothing of Him, and they die in their sins, they're immediately separated apart from God. We leave the judgment and the severity of that judgment up to God in heaven, who knows what is very best. But you can be assured of this. There's an immediate separation apart from God. That's why it's incumbent upon everyone listening who has never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Turn from your unbelief and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and receive salvation. And we're talking about an aspect of salvation that when you die in the faith, your soul is separated, immediately separated unto Christ forever. The Bible, though, promises something even greater for those who die in the faith, that there is more in our death than simply our soul being separated unto God, which is good. But it speaks of a glorification. The Bible promises a glorification. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 says, "And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." Well, what is this glorified? We've been glorified and we will be glorified. I think this glorification is the final step in the application of redemption. It's the final step, final phase of our redemption. And as far as I can tell, the main aspect of the final step of redemption is when we receive our resurrection body. When Christ returns, a literal return. According to the Scriptures, we who have died in the faith will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, receiving a resurrection body. And Paul even said those who remain, who are given that see Christ return, they too will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, receiving a resurrection body. So glorification and resurrection of the body is one of the hopes we have as believers. And we should find great joy in this. What does it mean that we have a resurrection body? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 44, he speaks of that which is sown perishable will be raised imperishable. You know, you think of your own body right now, and you think of your own propensity to sickness and aging and weakness and so on. This new resurrection body, which will be raised imperishable, will never be subject to aging, will never be subject to sickness, mental disorders, physical disorders. We will be strong forever and ever and ever. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44, that we'll be raised in glory as opposed to dishonorable. Right now, we hide and we cover our bodies. There are certain things we say we have to cover, for it's shameful to expose them. We have laws on the books in our land that punish indecent behavior, indecent exposure. But I'm not suggesting that we won't be clothed. We'll be clothed with immortality. We'll be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and our bodies will be beautiful and attractive in Christ. And that must be the most beautiful and wonderful aspect of the resurrection body. There will be a brightness and a radiance as those who have been clothed in an imperishable body. And Paul also called it a spiritual body. Doesn't mean it's non-physical, but rather it's a body completely subject to the will of God. I got that statement from Wayne Grudem, completely subject to the will of God and responsive to God's guidance. A spiritual body that does what it was designed to do, and that is to glorify God in every way and to enjoy God forever. So death, for the Christian, though it causes grief and sorrow, should cause praise and thanksgiving to our great God, our great and sovereign God who rules over life and death. The question I have for you, are you persuaded that upon your death you will be ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ immediately. If you have no assurance, I would encourage you now to call upon the Lord and ask Him to give you that assurance. If you're not part of a Bible-believing and a Bible-preaching church that preaches Christ and exalts Him, I would encourage you to be a part of a church like that. That you could say with Paul, "For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Thank you for listening to the Marrow of the Message from Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. God bless you.